Pray, Lord, that we all, myself very much included, receives from your word today. Open my heart, open my ears to the Spirit, Lord, as you will for all of us, to bring and to take in the richness of your word and how it will speak to us today as it does every day. I pray this in my Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. I love you, Lord. Well, today I want to look at, and we're not going to probably get very far into it, because as I began to look at it further, it's interesting how a verse or so can really just begin to amplify within you. Has that ever happened to you? And it's going to be in Romans again, but we bypassed. We've spent a lot of time on 6, 7, and 8, and finally finished out and wrapped up chapter 8 last week after some other things that we put that on the side burner for a while. But I kept in Romans, and I got into that of Romans 13. And it's going to be Romans 13, 11 through 14. I'll read it in the New Century, and then I've got the New King James, and I want to focus on a particular verse within those areas between 11 and 14. But I'm going to read it in a New Century version, Romans 13, 11 through 14. It says, "Do this because we live in an important time." It's an important time, folks. "It is now time for you to wake up from your sleep, because our salvation is nearer now than when we were first believed. The night," and this, the night, this is used as a symbol of the sinful world that we live in, okay? "And this world will be soon ending." So it says, "The night is almost finished, and the day," here now we're looking at the word day, this is used as a symbol of the sinful world that we live in, "and this world will end soon." And almost finished, "the day is almost here. So we should stop doing things that belong to darkness and take up the weapons used for fighting in the light. Let us live in a right way, like people who belong to the day. We should not have wild parties or get drunk. There should be no sexual sins of any kind, no fighting or jealousy. But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about doing what? Satisfying your sinful self." We got to get out of taking care of ourselves. We've got to get away from, "it's just me and I'm the one that I've got to take care of." No. As we serve Christ, as we surrender to Christ, He is taking care of us, and He will be there for us. He is wanting us now to go out and to serve Him and to serve His sheep. We are all ministers of the gospel. It's not just a pastor standing at a pulpit. It's all of us takes on this charge to go out and wherever our path and wherever the Lord leads us into our daily walk, our jobs, our relationships out there through hobbies and through friends and family, whatever the case might be. And it might be a lot easier through friends than trying to go through your family and share the word of God at times. But we are all ministers of the gospel to go out and to show a difference. So when I want to look at this here, Romans 13, 11 through 14 is encouraging the believers to live in light of Christ's return. We know here, those of us standing or sitting here today, we know that Christ is returning. Amen? We don't know when, but we know it's getting closer because life has continued on in days and centuries and all these things. So we know it's closer than when it started. But Christ is going to return, and He's urging them to wake up from their spiritual slumber. See, we get on a strong beat with God when we first get saved, when we first get the hunger, and He begins to envelop us with all the things that He's about. And we get really excited, and we get, I guess, turned on to those things. And, you know, it's some of these things you look at as a person that first received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, sometimes it's hard to hold them back because they just want to run, man. It's like, "This is the best I've felt." Why is that? Because the sin that was upon them for all of their life has been taken off of them. You know, they've got Jesus in their life. Things are getting better now. They've been reborn. They begin to see things differently than what they saw prior to receiving that of Jesus. So things begin to change in our lives. But little on down the road, however fur that road is, right? There's a slumber that comes on some of us spiritually. We get, as the world would say, fat, dumb, and happy. We get like, I like being a Christian. This is pretty easy. I just sit here. God takes control of everything. I can just sit here and coast. No, there's no coasting in the kingdom of God. There's no sitting in the back seat of the kingdom of God. You sit on the passenger seat, let God do the driving, but you're there and God is driving and directing and moving and going and saying, go do this, go share that, go there, whatever the case might be. But we end up, and it's just nature. Any of us in the natural, you get a hobby, and before you know it, you've got everything you need for that hobby. Fishing, I got every fishing pole I need. I got to buy that lure. I got to buy that. The lure's going to get the fish. Not really. Not really. But we get infatuated with these things. Golf, I got to have these clubs. Running, I got to have these shoes. Soccer, I got to, oh, now it's pickle paddle ball, whatever that is. But pickleball now is a hot thing. I got to get the good racket. Oh, yeah, we get so wrapped into something that's new to us. When we come into that of the relationship with Jesus Christ in our life, we get fired up and we're going to buy, I got to buy a new Bible and then set it in the corner. I got to do this. I got to, you know, anyway. But then we get into this slumber. And even in our natural, some of these hobbies that we were so infatuated with, they fall by the wayside. And we no longer have time to do it. Oh, gosh, I know to go fishing. I got to hook up my new John boat, and I got to haul it, and I got to get it off. I just don't feel like doing that. Golfing, you know, we end up fired up, and it's a short fuse. In our Christian walk, and God likes to see us fired up in the beginning. But God knows. God knows because he's had a lot of history with mankind that it's like, well, yeah, Tim's fired up now, but he'll slumber. There's going to be a point in his life, his point in my walk with me, that he's going to spiritually slumber. But it is up to us individually. You've got to take care of yourself. You have got to keep yourself awake in the spiritual areas of God. Amen? It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's you personally. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose that you want to be actively involved in the spiritual things of what God wants to do. But anyway, he says, wake up from your spiritual slumber. Cast off the deeds of the darkness. We've got darkness. We got so much darkness around us all the time. But he says now, and put on the what? Armor of light. By living a life of decency, of righteousness, rather than indulging in sinful desires. We come out of the world, don't go back into the world. Amen? We come out of the world into the kingdom of God, and it's a wonderful kingdom. How many here agree that the kingdom of God is wonderful? Amen? But we sometimes want some of the world because we live in this world, and we see the teasing of the world and the temptations of the world. And that's what we came out of with Romans 6, 7, and 8, how even good Christian people, good things of that of following Christ, sin still nips at our heel. We still get bombarded by the things that could come and snare us and take us away from that relationship with that of Christ. And that's what the devil truly wants to do. He wants to get into the church and he wants to make you slumber. The devil wants to come in, and sometimes it goes the other way, to where sometimes we get so busy in the church that we get busy in the church. Anybody been there? Busy in the church. I get so busy in the church, I don't have time for God. I got to do here. I got to go there. I got to take care of this. I got to get that. I got to do this. And God is over there in the corner, and he's saying, hey, don't lose or don't leave your first love. Don't leave your first love. I love what you're doing. I love the anxiousness, and I love your hunger to go out and share. But busy is not being godly. Being godly is doing godly things with God. And we've had a lot of good people in churches that the devil puts them on a treadmill of do, 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 go, 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 when Jesus is saying, hey, just come over here and sit with me. Let's talk. Just a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about it. Amen? He wants our conversations. He wants us to sit there and talk with Him. He wants us to come together corporately and worship Him and praise Him and glorify Him. Shout to Him and say, "Hallelujah, I love you, Jesus!" Because believe it or not, He's not hearing a lot of that out in the world. The world's out there saying, "Get rid of Jesus! There's no such thing! He's a pain! Don't listen! They're crazy people!" But we are that voice, like He was the voice crying in the wilderness. We are that voice out there of His, to show love, to show care, to show comfort, to show peace, to show something that the world doesn't have. The world has a very good counterfeit of love. They've got a very good counterfeit of, "Oh, I'm so concerned with you." The world has a great counterfeit of, "Oh, I care for you." Yeah, it's all there in the world to a point and place until the world gets tired of you, or until they don't need you, or until something you really need, you need, and they go, "Well, I can't do that. I care for you, but I don't care for you that much. Well, I love you, but I don't love you that much." Yeah, but what about? No. This is the world. With God, that love, that care, that strength, His concern is always there for us. And so as we read here, it's like we, and Paul is encouraging us, we've got to wake up from that spiritual slumber. The days are growing closer to our salvation. We started this salvation's path with that of salvation of receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it's like, hey, it's coming soon. Get ready. Okay, so verse 11. Highlights the urgency of the situation, emphasizing that the time for salvation is closer than when we first believed. There's a message to share for the people that are lost. There's a message for the church. Church, wake up. We have churches that are slumbering out there. We got to go out. Well, we're not a very big church. How can we go out and just spread the gospel? You're one person. Go talk to somebody else. Spread the gospel. He's not asking us to go out and rent a pavilion or rent an arena and call people in. He just wants us to go wherever you're at. Just go and share my love. Go and let them see compassion that I have. And that will draw them to that of God. Because this world has no compassion. Jesus has compassion. The kingdom of God has the compassion. Verse 12 uses the metaphor of night and day to represent the current state of spiritual darkness and the coming of Christ, urging the believers to shed the works of darkness and embrace the righteousness according to that of the Word of God. Amen? That we've got to shed the darkness, shed the things of this world. I am righteous, but not because of me. It's His righteousness in me, right? Verse 13 instructs believers to live with decency and integrity, avoiding the sinful behaviors like that of drunkenness and spiritual immoralities and strife, which characteristics of the night. Oh, who's been in the night? Not a good place. You think in the city? Dragnet and all that, stuff like that. There's always the crimes and things happen all at night, it seemed like. It's like, night is when the people, it's like the old adage, and it's still true today. And things even, you know, you talk with people, it's like, if it's 11:30 or 11:59, go home. Because the old thing is, nothing good happens after midnight. And I can tell you, doing some ride-alongs in 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, those calls don't usually go there because they just want to say hi to the policeman. They're out there because nothing good happens after midnight. But that's the darkness. But we are the light. Hallelujah. Are you the light? I got one light bulb here. And then verse 14 commands believers to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to put Him on, guys. We got to wear it. We got to walk out with that. And you know, we'll probably touch upon in Ephesians there about the armor of God and all that, looks at that too. But avoid catering to the desires of the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus, emphasizing a life that is focused on Christ and His teachings. Amen. So that's kind of like the crux of what we're at. But the verse that really got me was 12. In the New King James, it says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. Let me just kind of amplify this a little bit, because I do, once we get into this 12, I want to look at breaking down the armor of light and what that amounts to, okay? But one other reading of Romans 13, 11 and the Amplified. Do this, knowing that this is a critical time. It is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. The night, this very present evil age, is almost gone, and the day of Christ's return is almost here. Amen. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen, amen. So let us fling away the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and irresponsibilities and quarreling and jealousy, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for, nor even think about gratifying the flesh in regard to its improper desires. Now, that's a mouthful. As we say many times over, we are all still here in the flesh, aren't we? And it's a battle. It's not an easy time to be in the flesh. Back in the days when there was a little bit more censorship in the things that we would see and read and watch on television, it kind of helped us kind of stay away from some of the filth. But how many here have noticed over the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, it's like, you know, it's out there. It doesn't matter if it's 6 o'clock in the evening. It used to be some of those things they couldn't put on until after 10 o'clock at night. Now it's at 7 p.m., prime time, family time. And anybody been watching the show and you got your kids or your grandkids now, for some of us, and something comes on and you go, oh, dear Lord, that commercial. You got to censor commercials now. So this gross darkness is getting grosser by the day, by the decade, by the whatever. And it behooves us to stand up and to be alert to these things. But we live in this, and so we got to guard ourselves, specifically ourselves, because we want to be that child and that child of God, amen, that he can work through us and in us, and he can work out what he wants for us to do so that we can serve him with honor. How many here wants to honor God? I want to honor God. Do I do it every day? No. Am I perfect? No. Is there things that I need to change? Yes. Because I'm flesh with you guys. And I deal with stuff. And I deal with anger. But see, we go day by day with that. And things that happen around us draws us into that. And the devil just knows what he's doing. But I've got a God. And I have a Jesus. And I've got a Holy Spirit that leads me and teaches me. Jesus is my example. God is my Father. That I can go, oh God, forgive me for what I just thought or what I did or didn't do or all these things. So we've got to keep ourselves primed into that. So now as we look at this, and the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of the darkness, let us put on the armor of light. We read in Ephesians 6 this, what is putting on this armor of light? For the believer, this verse is encouraging us to actively reject sinful behavior and to embrace a righteousness way of life. Why? Because Christ's return is drawing closer. We know that he's getting closer. And we've got to be prepared. And we've got to prepare others for that because of the end time, right? We read in the darkness. The dark in God's word is usually symbolizing a time of spiritual darkness and sin. When we come across God's word day in the scriptures, it represents the coming of Christ. And that time is drawing closer to all of us here today. We've got to look at these things, and no matter where we're at in the trajectory with God, God is going to come back on his time frame. But I want to find myself where I need to be, doing what he wants me to do and following what he wants me to follow, because I want to honor and glorify him. Because Jesus says, I don't say or do anything unless I see or hear my Father say to do it. As a child of God, we've got to have that same disposition within ourselves. I don't want to go out and do something that God didn't tell me to do, because if it's not in God's timing, it could not work the way God wants it to work, or it's going to wear me out, or whatever the case might be. I've heard this and a long time back, and I take it for what it is, but a good thing done at the wrong time is not a good thing. A good thing done at the wrong time is not a good thing. It's only a good thing when it's done at the right time. And as children of God, as we hear Him by that of the Spirit in us, we hear the times. We hear Him say, go talk to that person. We hear Him say, go pray for that person. We hear Him say, do this or do that or help or do whatever it is. Sometimes it is just to do whatever it is. Sometimes just to be there for somebody to talk to be an ear for somebody to talk to, you know? And you don't have to have the advice. You don't have to have the... There's things that we all know that people go through that we don't have the clue of how to handle it, but they just need to talk and let them talk it out. But anyway, we know that the day is drawing closer and Christ is getting closer. The verse is calling for believers to be ready, put away sin, be living in the light of God's truth. We've got the best thing, God's truth, His Word. When we read, let us put on the armor of light, this is often interpreted as what? Putting on Christ in the righteousness of God. That's our righteousness is that of God. That's when we were far from Him, we were unrighteous. When we received Him, we became righteous. And we got to continue on that mode of becoming and staying righteous because it's an ongoing, growing thing. Is everybody still growing with the things of God? Every day we are learning. Every day He's stretching us. I sometimes say, Lord, stretch us. Stretch me. There's times I get with Him and I say, Lord, is there more that I should be doing? Is there more that we as a church should be doing? I don't want to just get in the rocking chair with that of God and say, okay, it seems like we got this and this. Everything seems to be, okie dokie. Let's just ride it out. I said, dear God, what am I missing if I'm missing something? And if I'm not and you're happy, I'm happy. Because why is it? I want to be a God pleaser. I want to be a person that says, God, it matters what you say. It matters what you think. It matters how you are looking at what I am doing. I don't need to have man come and say, oh, Tim, you did something really great there. Oh, Tim, this. Oh, that church is doing this. That's all well and good. But the thing is, I want to hear my Heavenly Father say, and even before I get to heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that daily. I want to hear it on a Monday if I'm sitting out here or at home, sitting, whatever the case is, sitting trying to figure out how to get around Janesville with all the detours. I don't know. I want the Lord to say, Tim, I'm happy with you, man. You're doing what I've asked you to do. It could have been better, but I'm happy you're at least attempting. Because, see, God can work rounding out the rough edges of us. But we've got to allow Him to be at least in His area so that He can do those things. You've got to be with Him so that He can change you into these things. So I think as we begin to look, and I saw putting on the armor of light, I saw that and I thought, well, wait, there's an Ephesians 6, I think it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And we go through the breastplate, the helmet, the shield, the sword, the feet, the shodding. All of these things is representative of His Word and the Scriptures and things of that nature in our faith. But He wants us here to say, put on the armor of light. He is saying, when I send you out into wherever I send you out to, I want people to see the light of Christ. I want them to see not you, but I want them to see me. So we are charged with that responsibility. And when we look at this in essence and what we look at as far as God's righteousness, it's the foundation of the moral character and the expressions of His actions. We want to be more what? Christ-like. And so we're going to look at some of those things. And what does that offer up? It's nothing human. It's all that of spiritual. It's the things that God is about, and we want those things within us. He is working with an earthen vessel that is flawed, that has cracks, that can develop cracks. But also, He's the potter. And if that happens, He can reshape us and reform us and put us back and put us and say, here, let me mold you and create in you what I want you to be. And if we get off kilter a little bit, you know, I think, you know, we talk about the potter, he's the clay, or I'm the clay, he's the potter. And he molds us and shapes us. And then sometimes he sets us, you know, on the shelf for a while. And then that's when we get upset, like, why isn't God using me? Well, it could be a time for you to sit and listen to God. It could be a time that God is saying, there's more that I've got for you, but I've got to put this into you first. I've got to put a little bit more of my DNA into you. then I will send you out. But I think we are a continuing clay. I never want to be rigid with God. And I don't want to be a pot that's fired and glazed, and this is who I am. I'm the vessel of God. There's no changing now. No. I want to be pliable clay in his hand so that when the time comes that he needs to remold me in something, that he can put his loving arms around me, his hands, and say, Tim, this is not what I really thought I want. This is not what I want you to do. You didn't hear me right. You didn't hear me completely. You took off running before I told you the whole thing. How many here, you know, tell your kids, you know, you tell them something and they take out the door, but you forgot to tell them the last because they're like, okay. And it's like, wait, there's more I want to tell you. What is it? Don't run over the top of the hill because it's a cliff. Oh, well. And so, you know, we get out and we get going. I think there's times that God's got to draw us back in. And that's why I always want to talk with God. I always want to say, God, I give you permission. How many here know you got to give God permission to work in your life? He doesn't force himself into you. But I've got to be, you've got to be, we got to be, all of us, all God's children got to be. We got to be to that point to say, Lord, please work in me, redo me, correct me, change me. Whatever it is, Lord, I don't care if you've been serving God 30, 40, 50 years. You've got to say, here I am, God. Search me, test me, help me, direct me, whatever the case might be. Because I want to continue to be molded and used by him to give him honor and glory. So when somebody looks at you out on the street and they see a wonderful thing that you just did, it's not to say, oh, Steve, what a wonderful thing. No, Steve would say, I'm doing this to bring honor and glory to my God. I'm wanting to serve my God. So those are the things that we're charged with. So as I looked at this, as far as putting on that light, the armor of light, in verse 13, let us walk properly and in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and things of that nature. Living as those who belong to the day. This emphasizes the need that we live with a transformed mindset reflecting the light of Christ. In his word, he talks to us about what? Renewing your mind. And he tells us in his word to have the mind of Christ. He tells us in his word, and we sing, change my heart, O God. And that heart can be the mind. It's the center of man. It could be multiple things in his scriptures. Mind, heart, mind. But we want him to change our hearts. We want him to change our minds. And what we think and what we think about and set our minds on, we want to set our minds upon the things of Christ, upon the things of God. We want to put on that armor of light. We want to be that brightness. And I've said this once before, I think, in sharing about the lightness of God, that we don't need to be a 100-watt or a 1,000-watt bulb of Christ. You can be a 5-watt bulb, but I'm telling you, the gross darkness of the world, you will see that little light. You can go into a pitch black room and just light a match, and that match eventually will light up that whole room at times as it begins to filter out, and that, lo, I see the light. So he's not telling us to be something that we can't be, but this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And sometimes we get beat up ourselves. We go, oh, man, that brother in the Lord, he is so bright for God, and he's, oh, look what he's doing, and I feel like I'm not anything. No, don't do that. That's what the enemy wants you to feel like, that you're nothing. Be bright of a light for that of Christ. Amen. So we're going to look at this a little bit more here. And so the righteousness of God. When we look at the righteousness of God, there's a multi-level. There's not just one area of righteousness with God, okay? So when we get into this, it's going to be looking at God's character, the divine that of justice and things, and his holiness and his purity. So we know that he's got a character. God's got a character, right? And I think he likes to laugh sometimes, because he laughs at me, because I do something, I go, oh, God, boy, that was silly of me, you know? But I have a good time with God. His character, the justice that he's about, the holiness, his purity. We look at the law that he has. All of these things are part of this light that we're to put on. We look at that of the will of God, the redemption and the grace of what he's about. All of these things, when we think of God, we think of holiness. We think of grace. We think of, you know, his character is that it does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we look at these things here, we will pay a little bit more attention, I hope, in our own individual lives. So I tell you what, before we go out here in just a little bit, let us just look at one area. I'm just going to break down first, and there's like five areas, but the character that God has. And this will be our first one. It's his nature. The nature of God, his character. This tells us that he acts accordingly to what his word says. There is no changing. He has a perfect standard. It's God's standard. It's not man's standard. We're not going to change God into our standards to what we want to do. That's the wrong thinking. We've got to change our standards into that of God because his never changes. Man's standards will change by that of the wind. But his perfect standard of truth, his truth is always there. When we hear God and he speaks to us, we know what he is saying. What he says to me about truth, he says to you. He doesn't change the truth for me, for Tim, and then changes it for Paul or anybody else. It is what it is. He says, his word says what it says, and he says what he means. And it's not for us to change it. But that's why when Jesus left and says, the Comforter will come so that he can lead you into all truth and tell you what you need to hear. That's what we needed. That's what we need the Holy Spirit about in that. But the truth of God is the truth of God. It does not change. And don't you find comfort into that? That when you read God's word, I don't have to doubt it. I don't have to think like, well, that was good back then. Or that's good, you know, 5 years ago or 25 years ago. That if I read this word 50 years from now, this word is still truth and it is still active. But that's his character. The holiness that he is. He's a holy God. Oh, we sang to that today. The holiness of God. He remains holy. Nothing's going to change into that. Now, we can look at some scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. We find that if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Again, he remains faithful, unchanging. Oh, I am so comforted. I can serve God today knowing that he does not change. The one that changes is me. When I change, I might see a little different facet of God. And it's not that God changed, it's just that God is so multifaceted in the things that as I begin to change within myself, I begin to see another, like that of a diamond. It's got multiple facets on it, but it's still the diamond. But it just reflects the light a little different here, a little bit here, but it's still inherently the diamond. And that's what God is. But it's as we draw closer, as I develop, as I mature, as I get a hunger more for him, and I begin to spend time with him, and as I begin to meditate with him and read his word and pray, I begin to see more of him. So he doesn't change. What I'm seeing is I'm seeing a change in me, noticing something more about my God. So his nature and actions, they never change. So, 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of what? Peace. Everything in God's direction is all of order. There was no Big Bang Theory when all this came about. Have you ever, go by these people now that have all these fireworks next to the curbs and all that, and everything that exploded, it looks like it's pretty well a mess. The papers, the boxes, the tubes, they're just like obliterated. That doesn't to me look like a big bang there. Well, it was, but God had order when he put this creation together. So we look at this. God is a God of order, not disorder. He's a God of peace, not restlessness. And we find that everything in God's word and what he says he is, it all aligns with his word. It doesn't align with man's ways. It doesn't align with a church's ways. It doesn't align with a doctrinational, as far as denominational things. It's all God's word right here in the scriptures. Okay, Hebrews, it says this: it is impossible for God to lie. Remember, we're looking at God's character. This, you know, he remains faithful. He remains, you know, in order, a God of order. He is a God that does not lie. He will not even contradict himself. Amen. And then in 2 Peter 1:20-21, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. We have people out there who want to discount the things of prophecy in the Bible because they say, well, that was just a man. Well, it was a man, or it could be a woman, but it was a man or a woman. It was given by inspiration of that of God, the Spirit, to come and tell them and to show them. And some of these men and women and prophecies back in the Old Testament, it took thousands of years for these things to come by. So it's like it ain't going to happen tomorrow sometimes when we hear the things of God. It's not like, oh, I prophesy that this is going to happen. You know, we look at that when Jesus said he was coming back, that his disciples were that way. And they, as soon as he was ascending into heaven, I think probably like, they might have given him like 20 minutes. And they're going like, where's he at now? He said he was coming back. Where is he? See, we work on our timetable. We work on what we want. We work on what I want and what I want to see. And what I need you now, God, right now. God's going to say, I'll be there when it's appropriate for me to be there. We're not going to change his time frame. We're not going to change his clock. But anyway, as we look at these things and we debate these things, we talk about the inspiration. The scriptures are inspired by that of God. And above all things, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origins in human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they carried along by that of the Holy Spirit. So as we look at these things, we're going to dive into it a little bit further in the weeks coming up. So this is number one, God's character. I find it so reassuring to know that I don't have to worry. Has anybody worked for an employer and they tell you one thing and 2 weeks later it's not the same? Has anybody been told by their government that this is the way it's going to be and before 20 seconds go by it changes? Man is fickle. Man does all these things, but that's why all these years in serving God, I can sit there and say, I know that I know that I know that he's God and that he changes not. And that gives me comfort, gives me peace, and it gives me a desire to say, I'm going to hang in there for this thing. I'm going to put my hand to the plow and I'm not going to look back. I'm going to keep going until he says stop. I'm going to keep going until he calls me home. I'm going to keep going until he says, you can be like your good friend John and you can retire now and just have a life of Riley. But God is good. And we all have a service to him until we're called home. Amen. So next week we'll pick up with divine justice. And this is all part of this light, the armor of light that we're putting on. His character within us to shine forth. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we love you for this day and for this time. Lord, there's much to chew on in your word, and I just pray that we can take it, a little nibble here and a nibble there, and that, Lord, you will involve and open it up more to our spirits, that how it speaks to us individually and how it speaks to us corporately. And your character is never to change. Oh, Father, I'm so blessed to be serving you and wanting to honor you, Father, as everyone here, I'm sure, just wants to honor you, Father God. So we praise you and we thank you and we worship you. Go with us this day. Help us understand these things, Lord, that we are daily just walking that armor of light, that we can show light into a darkened place of this world. Go with us, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen.